Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is gay health.
Yes.
I'm glad you shuffled forward before I had to yell at you.
I like to be like 6 feet away from the microphone and just like
for dramatic
whisper
effect,
it.
Yeah.
Just slowly crawl closer as the episode goes on. So when I got here today, Sean and I were chatting with Sean's roommate, and she had some interesting medical experiences lately, and we just got on the conversation of doctors or nurses saying awkward things to you, and how a lot of those experiences for us are partially because we are LGBTQ+.
Yeah.
So I think, like, for anybody, going to the doctor or, you know, dealing with medical stuff can be uncomfortable or awkward, but it's like a whole other layer when you're queer.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, we want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons. And this is actually the first time we are recording since our first patron event.
Yeah.
Because last week's was pre-recorded. So I'm really excited that we did it and it went well. We had
so
much
fun.
Like, Sean and I, so basically for those that are just tuning in or like, what the fuck are we talking about? On our Patreon.
Always, but
On our Patreon, we held a patron-only little mingler trivia night over Zoom. And for us, it was just so cool to be able to chat, like, face-to-face, Zoom face-to-face, with so many folks that listen to the podcast, and it was such a fun night. We did it on a Thursday, and it, like, ended up lasting. We said it was going to be an hour, and it ended up being, like, 2 hours, and we had to cut it off, because we're, like, we're probably annoying at people at this point.
For sure.
Yeah. I could have kept going, though. I was having a blast.
Yeah, the wild thing is also, though, that we were in our time zone, obviously.
Yes.
And we are, like, basically as far as this time zone can go.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people even out east that if it was 8:30, it was 11:30 for them.
Yeah.
And we were like, more gay trivia! And they're like, shut the fuck up, I want to go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, definitely next time we'll be more mindful of time zones.
Yeah, next time, like, I think we did it at, what, like, 7 o'clock or something?
Yeah.
We're going to try and do, like, a midday Saturday little, like, or, like, a midday Sunday, like, a Sunday fun day. So
a Sunday brunch.
Yeah, so that for the people that, like, are in our time zone or are in, like, Eastern Canada or United States where it's, like, 3 hours ahead, that still works. But
yeah,
then for people that are in, like, Europe and stuff, they can come. Because we had a few folks come that were from Europe and literally staying up till, like, 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. So we're so appreciative to all of our patrons who support us. And it was so nice seeing some of you be able to make it to our first trivia night. And if you are interested in becoming a patron and joining us for our next one and also getting access to bonus episodes, all that good stuff, you can go to our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast and click the link in the bio, or on patreon.com, search I Can Explain Podcast. And also a huge special shout out to Aiden, Olivia, Liz, Serena, and Kate. Thank you so much for supporting our podcast, and we're looking forward to meeting more of you Zoom face to face in, you know, a month or two,
and maybe real face to face when the world opens up.
Can we start manifesting, like, a I Can Explain meetup?
Let's start manifesting the end of a global pandemic, and then we can work
and
on the meetups.
And then I Can Explain meetup. Yeah, I just think that would be so fun.
My favorite pancake panorama thing I saw was somebody saying Pandemi Lovato.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
And I really loved that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's amazing. Yeah, I feel like we can hope for the, you know, health of the world.
Yes.
And then maybe I Can Explain meetup will follow.
Yeah.
A meetup tour worldwide.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Tour, where we just go to individual's hometown.
Yes.
And just meet them one,
like,
by one.
Yeah, like the final bachelor dates. You've made it to hometowns.
It's going to take us a few years.
Yeah,
but we will personally visit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your house.
Your childhood closet. So we can come out of it with you.
Oh my god.
So yeah, gay health.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, health is a weird thing when you are queer.
Mm-hmm.
Because first, I don't know how it works in other parts of the globe, obviously,
yeah,
but in Canada, North America, I think for the most part, you kind of inherit a doctor.
Yes.
You have a family doctor, mm-hmm. that's what they call them here at least, which your parents went to.
Yes.
And then you basically take them over and they die at some point and you get shifted to someone else you've never met. And I'm yes. saying this out of complete experience. Mine has passed on, RIP.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend's, I think, it's either death or retirement.
Yes.
And then you're just switched to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, you don't really question it. You don't have any say. It's just like your files
you
shifted.
Go.
You go meet this stranger.
Yeah, someone takes over their like black book, basically.
Yeah. And then the process keeps going. Death or retirement, new doctor.
Family doctors in Canada actually like sell their practices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a lot of industries actually do that in Canada, but basically, like, you know, these family doctors have built up like however many clients. So then there'll be someone like fresh out of medical school and they'll be like, I want to retire.
Yeah.
Do you want to take on my practice? And then these people that otherwise would have like no clients just get a bunch of clients.
Yeah. And so because of how the system is set up, you don't really have a lot of say. Obviously, you have the full ability to find your own family doctor and switch. Nearly impossible. No one's ever taking anybody.
No.
It's so hard to get a new family doctor. And then also add in the layers of, like, you're getting this person that knows nothing about you, doesn't usually, for the most part, know anything about
medical history, anything.
Your medical history, but also, like, you being queer, doesn't know the intricacies, doesn't know a lot of the time, like, you're getting an older doctor, like, even if they're familiar with queer issues, like, their language could be off. There's just so many layers to it. It's, like, intergenerational. There's so many things that they don't know that you don't know. It's just, like, it can be an absolute, like, clusterfuck tornado. So my first family doctor was a very old man.
Okay.
And when I say that, I mean, I think when I went to him as a child, he was like 70. he had chosen to not retire because he was just going straight for the death landmark.
Doesn't that stress you out too? Because you're like, things have changed in medical school since
totally.
You
totally, yeah.
Because I'm like, what do you not know? Like, how many courses have you updated your knowledge on here?
So, yeah, and I'm also like, don't they force you to retire at some point? Because it seems like doctors kind of just choose not to.
They just don't, I don't think.
Yeah, so that was my first family doctor, and then he passed on, and my file got shifted to this new family doctor. And there's a very interesting dynamic between me and my family doctor. I'm obviously not going to say who they are or give anything towards it, but I go to the same family doctor as my family still. They like took our whole file over. So it is me. I think my dad has a different doctor, actually. I almost guarantee that because I don't think he goes to her. Anyways, but it's me, my mom, and my sister all go to the same doctor.
Yes.
And my mom and my sister have had complete opposite experiences with this doctor.
Right.
And this doctor is like a chic, old, waspy woman.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Comes into the doctor room while you're waiting in like a Gucci belt, Louboutins, full experience. So usually I think it is hard for a lot of gay men or queer people to relate or feel comfortable with their doctor.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's this weird connection that waspy white women have with gays.
Yes.
Because she is incredibly sweet and helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
However, my sister and mom are like, it's like pulling teeth to get her to do
anything.
Like, they were like, we will want to get like a test done or something, and she just won't do it. I don't know if I'm disclosing too much about doctors. I don't know how that works. But anyways, so yeah, there's like a weird thing that somehow this has aligned for us, that she's incredibly helpful, very caring to me.
Yeah.
And it's odd that that is that way.
Yes.
But I know that there are a lot of situations that are not that way, and I know you have some of them.
Yes. So I had a similar experience.
Also,
are
we just breaking like patient confidentiality right now?
No, if we're talking about our own fucking experiences,
we can
talk about them all we want.
She definitely has the money to sue me too. So
with her Gucci belt. So I had, like, my family doctor growing up was the woman who birthed me.
Right.
Right? Like, my mom.
Your mother.
Yeah. Okay, no, I mean, like, caught me or whatever, right? Like, what do they say?
She was down the field.
They literally say, I think they say caught the baby. Like, I literally think that's the term.
I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of babies.
Right, yeah.
She was at the end of the cannon.
So, yeah. So, literally, this woman, like, knows me from literally the first second I'm born. Like, yes. She weighed me, the whole thing. As I got older, you know, like when you're a kid, you just go to the doctor, whatever, they're the regular checkups. But as I got older and started going to the doctor alone, that's when the problems started, because my opinion of this doctor is that they fucking suck.
You said confidentiality.
Who? I'm not saying who it is.
Yeah.
So basically, like, she was very, like, old school in methods.
Yes.
And also, in my opinion, actually, like, breached a lot of things of what she was supposed to do. Like, there would be occasions where I would go by myself. Like, I remember one time, I think the first time I went by myself, I had a yeast infection. So I was, like, freaked out. I didn't know what a yeast infection was.
Yeah.
And, like, my vagina was, like, fucking on fucking fire. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, and you Google that. It's like, oh, you're going to die tomorrow. So
listen, I will say one thing about gay health as an overriding thing.
Yes.
Get off WebMD.
Oh, God.
Because everything ends in cancer. Yes. Every single avenue ends in cancer.
You have 2 weeks to live.
Like actually, yes. I'm like, news it on chin. They're like, you've
probably
died.
You've yeah,
passed
you've
on. Your ghost is on WebMD.
So, yeah. So, and I'm pretty sure, like, and once again, my reality, I was, like, probably, like, 13, so it might be a little skewed.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure she legit, like, called my mom.
Oh.
And, like, gave her the results. Like, either way, she disclosed enough that I remember being wildly embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because she was supposed to call for the result with the results. And I had told my mom I was going to the doctor for, like, something else.
Right.
Because I was
not a yeasty.
Not a yeasty.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those weird things. Like, when you're a young kid, you feel embarrassed about anything happening about your body. So,
yeah,
like, that can feel, like, now I'd be like, oh, I got a fucking yeast infection. But, like, at the time, that was, like, something that, like, I felt really, like, embarrassed about. I didn't know what was going on with my body. Like,
yeah.
In a way, you have to be, like, brave enough to, like, go in and even talk to a doctor about
totally.
It. Like, I remember being scared shitless. I thought she was going to, like, judge me. I thought, like, something was wrong with me. Like, all these things. And so then she, like, told my mom, like, oh, tell her, like, it's all clear. Just buy this ointment or whatever the fuck. And my mom was like, oh, what's going on? Like, Brie, like, she said you need to
She's
buy
like,
this.
Your daughter has a yeast infection.
And I remember just being, like, so humiliated and, like, sobbing my eyes out.
Yeah.
And, like, it's one, again, like, looking back, like, was it a big deal? No. But should she have said that? Absolutely not. Like,
no.
It's literally a breach. Like,
yeah,
you cannot give that health information up. So that's, like, kind of when the, like, problem started. And then it was, like, maybe, like, 2 years later, I think it was 15, and I had started my period, and my periods are, we're really getting into it with the
oh,
help.
Yeah.
I've caused off
You've
yeast
got a wide
infection.
Set vagina and a heavy
now
flow. Let's do this. First, I had a yeast infection. Now we're going to transition into first period.
I bet a lot of these people are really happy they tuned in for Bree's medical
oh,
history.
Don't worry.
Episode.
I'll get into some good fucking doctor stories later.
So, anyways,
So I'm just bleeding profusely out of my pussy
no, hole. Like, it's actually, like, sad because I was, like, 15 and I would try and do, like, dance classes and I couldn't get through a 45-minute dance class without, like, bleeding everywhere despite using, like, tampons and pads.
Oh, my God.
And, like, two pairs of underwear and I would still, like, leak and I, like, insane amounts, right? So it was, like, I would be just, like, so sick. I had, like, crippling cramps. Like, I would not be able to go to school for 2 days. Like, I
Jesus.
Had really bad periods. So my mom actually, like, researched for me, like, different ways to help, like, with that. And at that point, even, like, there's a whole lot of new research now that, like, you know, with naturopaths and stuff, they can help you with those sorts of things.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before. So before, the kind of the only option was deal with it or go on birth control.
Okay.
Because birth control noticeably lessens the period.
Yeah.
Right. So my mom was like, like, I've, the only thing that you could do that I've found is to go on birth control. Like, you should go to the doctor and, like, ask her about it. And I remember just feeling so relieved that something was going to help me.
Yeah.
And I was, like, in no way sexually active, but I was still, like, obviously the, like, stigma of being, like, 15. I was nervous to, like, even bring it up and ask about it. And I was, like, I thought she was going to shame me once again. So, like, I went. And she refused to give me birth control. She did not. So I went in, I explained why I needed it, which once again, I want to preface this by saying there should not be any reason that you should tell a teenager that they can't have birth control.
Yeah.
Like that alone, like if I had gone to like a board or something, I literally don't think she would have her license with half the shit she did to me.
Right.
Because like you've already breached contract. That'd then be a you good have episode. Someone going, oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Then I have gone in and I've asked for birth control, which let's be real, even if I was lying, I wasn't, but even if I was lying for the reason, you have no right to not give me birth control.
Absolutely.
That's like what? Like it's free at clinics for teenagers. They're trying to teach about safe sex. So she literally told me a type of tampon to buy that she thought was somehow going to solve my problem of literally wearing like
having
like the biggest tampon I could find and like the biggest pads and literally doing everything besides wearing a goddamn diaper. Like, and she thought it was the issue was the type of tampon I was using.
Right.
And then, so I went and bought this other type of tampon and I went back again and she was like, I just don't think you should go on birth control. She didn't give me birth control. So then I went to it and I was so humiliated.
Oh my
I didn't
God.
Even tell my mom because I was like so humiliated because like I could tell her reasoning was that I should just like not be having sex. And so like I didn't want to tell my mom because then I thought my mom would think I was having sex because she would think like, well, why is she not giving it to you? Like such a shame spiral for a 15-year-old girl who's like dealing with this.
Yeah.
And then, so I just ended up going to the clinic with, like, one of my friends who was on birth control because she was sexually active and getting it for free from the clinic.
Yeah.
And then, like, weirdly, like, hiding it from my mom and, like, stuff like that. And then eventually my mom found out and was like, we're going to the doctor and just getting you a prescription. Like, this is stupid.
Literally.
Because they would only at the clinic give you,
like one pack,
like,
right?
one pack. Yeah. So eventually I got on it from her. And then fast forward to, another one wonderful time I went in, this was like the last straw because there's like a whole other, I could go on for ages about this doctor. But for a lot of years, I would just go to random walk-in clinics and get like paps or like anything I needed to because I just didn't want to go see this doctor. Like, I just
which
felt,
is like so fucked up.
Which is so fucked up.
You should
to, like,
not be avoiding the person that's supposed to know
like,
your...
what?
Yeah.
And knows your medical history and stuff like that. And like, as you said, I would call all the time. And I know we can't complain here because we have like free medical health and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I would call every doctor's office to try and get a new doctor. Could not find
one. It's so hard.
It was impossible. So I would just go to walk-in clinics and, like, get what I need to get done. And then I needed to go to her because I wanted to... What was I going to her for? Oh, I wanted to see because I was going to start researching for later in life. Let everyone know who's listening. Don't start spreading a rumor that I'm trying to get pregnant right now. This was, like... maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
I wanted to know because Julia and I were talking about how eventually we want to have a kid.
Yeah.
And when you are two people with uteruses and not sperm readily available,
tends to be a little hard.
Yes. Yeah. And you have to a lot of times financially plan in advance. Like we wanted to go in and talk to someone and get the number so that we would meant when we are ready, we've prepared
the eggs,
for it.
You can do
we
all
do,
the,
do all the things that we need to do. And we that's what we wanted to we just wanted to talk to someone about it
get
because
the ball rolling.
Yeah, because also the other thing is like a lot of people, you know, that have infertility troubles, they don't expect it to happen when you're in a heteronormative relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So that's not something that is exclusive to queer folks, but the difference is like, we know we're going to have to go through
IVF. Yeah, we do have infertility
IVF.
Issues
yeah,
like, in some
like,
very obvious form.
We are infertile,
together,
the two of us
unit.
Together as a unit. Yeah. So like, we know we are going to have to pay copious amounts. We know we're going to have to potentially get like egg retrieval. We know we're going to have to do all these things. So like, we want to know like, what does that look like? Where do we stand? Is it going to be cheaper if we get like egg retrieval now and when we're younger? and then like freeze them and then do it that way? Or should we just wait? Like, we just wanted answers because we didn't want to get to the point where we were ready and then go, oh, wait.
Oh, we know nothing about this. Yeah.
And we wish we had known that 4 years ago so we could have planned for that.
To have 30 grand.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's fucking insane. Yeah. So I went to her because the clinics here that specialize in those things, the one we went to actually is called Olive Fertility, and it was fantastic. So highly recommend it. Very queer friendly if you're in area. And but I needed a referral from my family doctor. So I went in to see her, like booked an appointment and whatever, and literally like asked for a referral. And she was like, oh, well, why do you need that? Like, are you trying to have a baby right now? And I was like, well, no, I'm not trying because I'm in a gay relationship.
Gay. You're like, I am trying, but something's not adding up.
First, actually, she shamed me when I walked in the door for not being to the doctor in years. And I said, oh, I have been to the doctor. I just haven't been coming to you.
Yeah, I just hate your guts.
And I was literally like, I was ready at that point. Because like, when I was younger, I was very like subdued. And
I was ready. Yeah.
I was like, I just didn't feel comfortable after some experiences coming to you for a while. But I need to come to you for this.
Yeah.
So it's on record. And she was like, oh, well, anyways. And then, so I asked her, she's like, oh, well, are you trying to get pregnant? And I was like, no, not currently. She's like, well, why would you need to go there? And I was like, well, I'm in a relationship with a woman and we want to plan for the future.
Yeah.
And she literally goes to me, okay, well, when you are ready to have a baby, I can refer you.
Oh my God. Please tell me this is not your family doctor still.
No, thank God. So let's keep in mind. Let's keep this in mind, that this woman, that this is not going to affect her in any way, shape, or form, referring me. She's not going to have to do any work.
Yeah.
I've explained why I need to, even though we're not ready to get pregnant right now. And she's literally like said no. Like, I walked out of there without a referral. So then I went. I was crying, like sobbing. I felt so disgusted. Like I hated that I gave her another chance. And I walked into a walk-in clinic. Like I drove like literally like 3 blocks to another clinic. Walk in. Guy doctor who I've never fucking met before in my life goes, oh, what are you here for? And I said, oh, well, my girlfriend and I want to kind of plan for the future. And, you know, I need a referral to go to talk to Olive Fertility. And he goes, oh yeah, no problem. That's awesome. Congratulations on starting planning for that.
Wild.
So positive. So nice. He goes, oh, that's so cool. Wait, good for you guys for starting to look into that. I understand it can be like, quite the expensive thing too. So I like best of luck to you guys. Like congratulations on like the next planning for your future or whatever. Yeah. So nice. I was in and out in like 3 seconds. I was in her fucking office for like 20 minutes trying to convince her. And literally, walked around. I'm like, how easy? No sweat off that guy's back. How easy was that fucking that?
It's just so
crazy. Literally, I've thought about it and I literally think she's a bigot because I'm like, oh, looking
I'm
back
now, I'm
like, she
vibes.
Wouldn't give me birth control.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, she thought I shouldn't be having sex and that's why I wanted it. As if that's like a doctor's right to. And then she weirdly wasn't giving me and my partner the allowance to go plan to have a kid.
Is her practice in like a church? Like,
yeah. It's actually church based.
Yeah.
So that was the last time I saw her. I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. Good. Like, done. And it was weird. Like, the universe aligned for me. Because like I said, I'm on every fucking waiting list in area,
right.
In drivable area.
Yeah.
And I just literally like I want to say 3 weeks after that was driving through Lynn Valley and there was a big sign at Lynn Valley and Mountain Highway, like the main corner intersection there in the area I grew up in, that had a big sign with a number that said new clinic opening, taking new clients.
And you were like,
and I literally like pulled over and called. And now I have this new family doctor that I guess I got now 2 years ago. Yep. And she's so wonderful and nice.
Oh, good.
And she's like younger, which I know is not everything. It's not about like youth, but like she's like so like knowledgeable, like you said, about like it, in no way was it weird. Like she did a routine pap smear like and checked off all the like usual checkup stuff in my first like going to see her.
Yeah.
And it was like she was super inclusive in her language and the way she like spoke and asked questions, and like there was no like awkwardness or shock about me being gay and like all these little things that like you it's easy to take for granted when you don't have to answer something against the grain of a way that the question is framed.
Yeah.
But when, like, as a queer person, it does just add to the already awkward experience of going to the doctor. And totally. So, like, those shifts in languages, like, she didn't assume my pronouns. She asked me for my pronouns. She, like, all these different things.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just, like, just night and day from the experience I was getting before. Hey, Gabers, we're just going to take a quick break to tell you about one of our amazing sponsors, Care Of. I personally have been loving Care Of because it's helped me get back in the routine of putting my health first in a super easy and convenient way. So if you head to takecareof.com, you take their online quiz, and it has all sorts of questions about your diet and your lifestyle and your wellness goals, and it's going to give you a personally tailored vitamin plan for your unique health needs. Even better, these vitamins are going to arrive to your door with a contactless delivery. They're individually wrapped for daily vitamins. So again, so easy to get into routine. Every day you have your individual little packet. You take those. So easy. I really like that these packets are compostable, so you get to focus on your health while practicing a more eco-friendly mindset. If you want to try Care Of, you can get 50% off your first Care Of order by going to takecareof.com and entering code EXPLAIN50. For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code EXPLAIN50. Thank you so much to Care Of for sponsoring this podcast and, you know, supporting us and our queer content. We love them. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's so wild because I think that going to the doctor is such, you're in such like an intimate circumstance.
Yes.
Like it's so like all layers of comfort are basically stripped from you.
Yeah.
So then to have a situation that your back is basically up against the wall, you're so vulnerable. Like going to the doctor, you're so vulnerable.
Yes.
And then to have somebody that doesn't understand like the delicate nature of being queer.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure, I'm not saying that I'm not ragging on all doctors. I'm absolutely sure that there's continued education for doctors based on, you know, things constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know if there's enough emphasis on sensitivity training on things like language, because I feel like doctors obviously stay up to date on procedures and how to approach things. Not all of them, obviously. But I don't necessarily know if there is, you know, sensitivity training on pronouns and things like that, because I have had to answer some like lovely questions, and I'm not trans. I'm not all these other things that are even like more sensitive at a doctor's office. But yeah, I've had, like, I am so obviously gay, and I've had to be like, I'm not having sex with women, like, just all these things, or like having to explicitly be like, yes, I have had anal sex, like all these things.
So
or like one doctor asked, like, I forget what it was, like something about why I hadn't given blood. And I was like,
God.
Oh, I legally can't. Yeah. You don't want my
the
blood.
Homophobia the homophobia of the system.
It's kind of usually the homophobia that gets in the way.
Oh, my God.
So it's just like, it's frustrating. And yeah, to be in a position that's so vulnerable already and then to have to explain things to somebody or to kind of dance around things is so awkward.
Oh, it's so awkward. Like when you go, everyone knows that experience. Especially queer women, when you're going for a pap smear and you get that string of questions that's like, are you sexually active? Yes. Are you on a form of birth control? No. Is there any way you could be pregnant? No. Well, if you're sexually active and not on birth control, how are you sure you're not pregnant?
There should be, you know, one of those things that's like, like A or B, if not this, skip to this question. Like, you know, there should be some sort of,
we don't have to sit there and like say it or something.
Yeah,
I
you should
know.
Check like if gay, move to question 14.
And then it's like that awkward moment, especially for like years I was going to walk-in clinics for pap smears because I didn't want to go
to this nightmare bitch
doctor. And You're just like constantly coming out. Like, I'm literally, like, we talk about on this podcast all the time how you're constantly coming out. There's another example.
Absolutely.
That I'm like, here I go. I'm going to walk in and I'm going to come out to whatever random doctor I get today.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it is. There's that just that moment of like, okay, I have to tell this person that I'm gay explicitly. And then they are going to have some form of response that I can't anticipate, but I'm going to be reading their facial expression. And like, it's just, and then it's always that like thought with the line of questions. I'm like, do I right away say it? Like, if they're like, oh, like, are you sexually active? Should
gay.
I say like, yes, gay. But in gay.
In gay.
In gay.
I'm doing it in gay though.
Yes. Like, do I do that? Or do I just like wait until the thing?
Yeah, you're like, it's, I'll like, let you catch up. Don't worry. Don't worry, sweetie. You got a few more questions before we get to the fun one.
It's such a weird experience.
And it's also like, you're here for a health reason.
Yes.
And I wish it didn't. Your identity didn't play a factor in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like, I'm here because I have a hemorrhoid. Why does it matter that I'm also a lesbian? This one time I went to the doctor. This is like as I was becoming vegan. I went to the doctor because I was having such bad stomach pain that I literally was like, I'm dying. I was like, I'm dying. I've died.
End.
I've passed on.
Yeah.
Like, it's the end for me. I went to the doctor. It was so long. And then I eventually got in. It was a walk-in clinic. Like, I went to the hospital one time before this, but I went to a walk-in clinic. I was like, I'm dying. It was like an hour wait. I went in. He's like knocking around on my stomach, and he's like, oh, like, do you hear that? And it was like really loud sounding. And then he just goes, so in my mind, I'm like, he knows what it is. He's hearing it. It's like, he knows what it is. It's bad. It's super bad.
It's so bad.
And he just goes, it's gas. Like, I had gas so bad that I went to the doctor because I thought I was dying.
Okay. This is so funny. My sister might kill me for saying this, but she went to the hospital one time.
I had already been to the hospital, and I went, and the hospital was like, I did like a fucking x-ray and shit, and they were like, nothing's wrong. And then I went to the clinic, and they're like, you just got a fart real bad, dude. But it was because I was like incredibly allergic to dairy.
Brooke thought her appendix broke.
I thought it was my appendix. I was like, I'm
done.
Because it gets
like
trapped. And it was painful.
How do they help it get out? Do you take like laxatives or something, or you just stick your ass in the air and hope for the best?
I just stuck my ass in the air, in the waiting room after. And it's funny because I
have downward dog in the waiting room.
Honestly. And I've had friends that have been like, I honestly in high school had such a bad stomach ache, I got sent home, and then I walked into my house and I let the like fattest fart rip, and it was all gone. So that happened to me. Another time I also sliced the end of my finger off.
What?
Yeah. On Pride weekend, like four years ago. Sliced the end of my finger.
That's a hate crime.
Absolutely. I was cutting green onions and I sliced the end of my finger off. So I went to the clinic and was like, I sliced the end of my finger off. Should I be here, clinic, or should I go to the hospital?
Yes.
And they were like, oh, just the end? Like, is it? And I was like, just a little piece of the
just
end.
The
it's
end.
Just the tip.
Yeah. Just the tip.
So she was like, oh, yeah, you can just come here.
Yeah.
I waited for 2 hours, 2 hours with my friend. All these people are going ahead of me. Like, people,
like,
they're like, I have the flu, and like, I have this. And like, people are like, I'm just here for like my sinuses. All these people are passing me. I am covered in blood.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm holding my finger this entire time. I get in the weirdest doctor I've ever met in my entire life. He's asking me if I like want something to eat. He's like, I have like a protein bar. I was supposed to eat it at my lunch break, but I didn't get it. Like,
maybe he thought you the amount of blood loss.
Probably. So then I take
point.
My finger. Oh, like I move the bandage, and he just goes, you sat in the waiting room for 2 hours with this? He's like, you should have been at the front of the line. You should have gone to the hospital.
Oh my God. Let me see your finger. Did
it's
it grow
like,
back?
It grew back, yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
I'll show you the picture of it if you want. It's real gnarly.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see that.
Yeah.
My concern is, why were you having green onions at Pride? Like, what were you prepping?
Sorry, I wanted a healthy treat.
<There's>
another time I was running to my tutor
uh-huh.
in like grade 9, and I was running past a drive. I was going to get the bus to go to my tutor. I was running down a hill.
Oh my God.
Running past a driveway, and they had one of those driveways that is the asphalt, but like slick black asphalt.
Yeah.
And they were watering their garden or washing their car or something. So I slipped on the water on their slick driveway and fell into their garbage bags that were just sitting on the side of the road. Yeah. And I just blended right in. And so I got up and was like, oh shit, like that was wild. And I kept running, and I was waiting at the corner of the road to cross the street to get on the bus.
Yeah.
And I swung my hand forward, and there was a drop of blood in the street that I saw. And I was like, whose is that? And then I looked down, and both of my hands were bleeding and both of my knees. And I was just profusely bleeding out of one hand.
Oh.
So what I think happened was I fell into like a bag that had like broken glass or something,
oh my
or like
God.
Metal.
What are the
Because I sliced, I still have a scar there, one of these.
Oh, my God.
So I sliced the palm of my hand open.
Yeah.
And it was like literally a flap.
Ew.
And
oh my God.
So I was
going. I feel lightheaded.
I'm going to, yeah, trigger warning, blood this. So I was going to my tutor, and then I was going to go stay at my friend's house for a sleepover after. So
yeah.
I had a backpack with books and like things to change into.
Okay.
So I sat on the corner of the road.
Oh my God.
And tied boxers around my hand because I was just bleeding. And this mother was driving by in her van, and she like fast and furious like swung her van around and was like, get in! And I literally got in this stranger's van, and she drove me to the same clinic that I had the green onion incident at.
No.
And this time, I went in and I was waiting in the waiting room, like, prepared to wait, and all the people were like, you need to go ahead of us.
Oh my God. You should have, like, flounced your green onion finger around.
I should have. And the guy was like, why didn't you bring the end?
Oh.
And I was like, I was in a little bit of a rush, babe.
To just pick up the little end.
Yeah, he was like, why didn't you bring the little end with you?
What would he have done? Like, stitched it on?
Stitched it on, yeah. And said he kind of had to, like, stitch the whole clothes.
Okay, what I need to know is, did you go out after this?
I did go out after, yeah.
Shut up.
I did.
Okay,
and
well,
I literally asked him, can I drink after this?
Uh-huh.
And my friend Alyssa was there. She could vouch for all of this.
Yeah.
First of all, he was the weirdest person I've ever met. and I said, can I go out after this? And he said, I don't recommend you drinking after this. And I said, not recommend or can't? And
yeah.
He said, not recommend. And I was like, if I drink, will I be okay? And he's like, yeah, just try to drink a little bit less because you've lost a lot of blood.
you're just like 1 ounce away from a blood transfusion.
Like,
honestly,
but I was like, okay, like, be real with me. I'm planning to drink after this. Will I die?
Yeah.
He's like, I, as a doctor, cannot recommend you do that, but you'll probably be okay.
And you're like, that's all
and
I need
like,
to hear.
Hey, Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
That's where I need it.
Oh my God.
So that was a good one, yeah.
You know what? Like, as crazy as all these doctor experiences are, and I think, like, for anyone growing up in, you know, going through puberty, going through the lack of sex ed systems and, like, hoping to find safe spaces with doctors and sometimes not, as I did in my experience.
Yeah.
That's hard for anybody, but, like, queer folks, it just brings this whole other level because also you just don't even know necessarily what to ask for. It goes, like, it's like anything we talk about. It's just that added layer.
Yeah.
You know, it's that added, like, I have to come out to that person. Or, like, in the case of a family doctor, like, I know myself, I wouldn't have come out to my family doctor or asked about sex ed out of fear that she would have told my parents or, like, let something slip.
And, like, you have a very open and, like, inviting and accepting family.
Yeah.
But there are tons of people that share a family doctor that aren't out to their family and don't have a family that is accepting.
It would be unsafe if they're
So it's like you're being vulnerable with this doctor, but then are you also disclosing something that could blow up your whole family relationship?
Totally. It's crazy. It's like this whole added layer. We have a friend, Sean's friend, who I met through Sean, that's in medical school. Well, my friend too, but I hate being like, we have a friend.
Sean's friend,
like,
who I met through Sean.
I hate being like, yeah, I was just waiting for you to clock me and be like, that's my friend.
Right.
That you
do not claim them. They hate you.
And they're in medical school. And it's cool because a few times that I've spoke to them about their experience, like, they've started a queer, like, LGBTQ plus, like, doctors club. That's totally not what it's called. They'll probably message me after, like, it's not called the queer doctors club.
Please stop it.
I'm picturing, like, the babysitters club of doctors are soon to be doctors, I guess. But, like, even just, like, that little step, something that, like, wasn't established or there before for people to talk about, things that need to change in the medical field and how you intake clients and how you ask about pronouns and gender and sex and, like, all these different things that are very new in the medical space that all these doctors that have been practicing for, you know, 10, 20, 30 plus years did not have access to that sort of information and are at varying levels may not be willing to adjust.
Yeah.
So it's cool to hear.
Don't want to at all.
Or don't want to. So it's cool to hear from someone who is queer and is in medical school saying that that is at least a conversation and, like, something that they want to bring into their practice. And I'm hopeful that, like anything, that will continue to get better as that all these new doctors that graduate that have
Doctors in the workplace.
Oh, the
it's honestly true, though. As soon as the workplace gets more saturated with more queer people. Those conversations can evolve.
Yes.
And I think there are so many conversations that are necessary and important that when they do start evolving, it has such a big trickle-down effect.
Totally. You know what I've thought about that I want to start is, and I just don't know what platform would be the best for it or how to go about it.
OnlyFans? I want my pussy out.
Mask on, pussy out. No, I've thought about this the other day because I actually had, which I've had now a few times, someone reach out to me particularly because they knew that I am LGBTQ plus friendly. It was another realtor in another province in Canada that was giving me a referral of their clients that that are moving to Vancouver, and they were like, hey, I reached out to a few offices asking if they knew if they had any LGBTQ plus realtors, yep. because my clients specifically asked for LGBTQ plus friendly realtors, and you were recommended, like, can I set up a meeting with you and them?
Well, because some houses also have, like, straight vibes. You know, you can't be going to those.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I was like, absolutely. And it made me think, it's, like, so true. Like, a lot of my clients have said to me, even if it's not as explicitly said like it was there, that it was, like, they're looking for a queer realtor.
Yeah.
They've said to me after working with me, oh, it was nice to feel like we didn't have to have that extra conversation of, like, yes, we're two women who showed up. And, yes, we are not sisters or best friends buying this apartment together. We yeah. are a couple. And, like, just that extra little hoop that you kind of don't know if you're walking into a meeting with a mortgage broker or a realtor or a doctor or, like, any professional, really, how they're going to react or how they're going to perceive the situation. And it made me think about how there's not really a place, because I searched for it, at least for Vancouver, that's, like, somewhat of a resource of, like, a bunch of different industries and people that are queer in those industries where you could call.
Right.
Like, I feel like that sort of catalog would be so useful to people.
Totally.
Like, if you could go to a website that was, like, queerprofessionalsvancouver.com and be like, okay, here's all our accountants that are not just LGBTQ plus, like, here's a list that's LGBTQ plus friendly. Here's LGBTQ plus identifying.
Yeah.
And, like, that for every industry. Like, an accountant, mortgage brokers, doctors, whatever. Because
it's funny because you don't really have to go that out of the way to get a queer interior designer.
For your industry, yeah. that page is miles
off. Yeah, yeah.
But because I would use that as a resource.
Absolutely.
Just to not have to have that extra, like, conversation.
Yeah.
I would 100% use that as a resource. Even me, like, I've been thinking about I have an accountant for real estate, but getting an accountant to help me with taxes for, like, more social media stuff.
Yeah.
And I've thought about it, and I've gone to the point of, like, being about to, like, email someone, and I'm like, I have to tell them that how I'm making this money is making these videos, and then they're gonna click on my, like, their videos, and they're like, which is stupid, like, who cares, it's already out there in the public.
Yeah.
But I just, like, I feel weird being totally, like, this is how I make money on social media. I know they're gonna ask, like, oh, what do you post about? And it's, like, just that extra thing.
I also want to, like, validate people that find it so daunting that they are avoiding getting a new doctor or going to the doctor or all these things, because
that's awful.
It is so daunting just from a healthcare perspective to go to the doctor or to go to the dentist or any of these things. Like, I have a crippling fear of the dentist.
Yeah.
I literally hate the dentist.
Yeah,
I had terrible dental experience one time and it literally haunted me.
Yeah.
So the other day I went to the dentist again for, like, the first time in, like, a year or more or something. And that was
I was
putting it off for weeks.
Yes.
So I'm sure there are a lot
for
of
weeks. You put it off? You mean, like, years?
Well, yes, but when I started the ball moving, first I was putting it off by avoiding it. It wasn't even part of
it. I'm like, you did pretty good if you just put it off.
No,
for weeks.
First it was not even a conversation going on. Yes. Then I needed to amp myself up. Then I, you know, looked up some phone numbers. Then it was
a whole thing.
So, and I'm sure there are a lot of young queer people that are avoiding going to the doctor for a lot of maybe necessary things because they don't want to be in that uncomfortable situation
100%.
As a patient and as a queer patient.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not alone in that.
Yeah. And huge empathy to people that are, like, living at home with parents that maybe aren't accepting and going to a doctor or going to a local therapist. That's another thing. Like, my friend posted the other day on their story, because they're a registered therapist, and they posted a story, which I thought was very thought-provoking, that the understanding that therapy is inherently biased is completely wrong.
Yeah.
Because it would be impossible, and they were saying even for themselves, to be a unbiased therapist.
Totally.
Because depending on your political views, what you think is right and wrong, like, what are you steering people away or towards? You know what I mean? Like, so...
Which I do, sorry to cut you off, but I do think this is not sponsored at all,
no.
But places like Inkblot and BetterHelp and things like that I have used, I do think that is one huge benefit of online therapy because of the questionnaire process, and they literally ask you, like, is it important that your doctor or that your therapist has, you know, perspective, like queer perspective? Yes. Is it all these things? Is it
religious? But like, you know, all these different things.
So it's like they're asking you the questions without you having to be like, oh, well, I would like a queer therapist.
That's true. Yeah, like, that's a great resource for that reason, because things like doctors, therapists, and depending on where you live, depending on your local area, depending on what your family recommends, like that might be something that is actually like not helpful at all or scary because they are like closely connected to your inner community that you maybe are not comfortable coming out with. Yeah. So it's a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, going to the doctor, not fun. I gotta go back actually.
But I think to end this off, sometimes you might think that you're dying, but it's just gas.
That is inspiration.
It's not your appendix. You just got to fart real hard.
The amount of people this happens to.
No, it's like, so common.
The fact that now, like I think you're like maybe the third or fourth person that I know that this is like they've gone to the hospital for it. For bad gas.
Yeah.
Like that must happen on the daily. They're like, oh, got another
gassy gal. Got another gassy gay in here.
All right. Well, on that note, wherever you're listening, thanks so much. Make sure to follow and subscribe. Also, rate us 5 stars only, please. It really means the world to us. We cannot say this enough. If you rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, usually there's a star rating or something along those lines. It really helps us out. You can also go follow us on TikTok at I Can Explain Podcast and on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. And if you click the link in the bio, there's a link to our Patreon as well as our merch. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood. Or the doctor's office.
Oh my God.